Well, it's that time again. It's Monday at 4 o'clock. Jim's going to cue up the monk music as we welcome back our good friend and the authority on beer, Opus from the Thirsty Monk, for the voice of beer. Opus, welcome back.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me back, and the monks too.
How was the weekend at the Thirsty Monk?
Weekends are always fun at the Thirsty Monk.
Now, have you been able to open up? I know we talked last week about opening up that front area there, the garage door, as I call it. I guess this weekend was a little tricky with the rain.
It gets a little tricky with the rain, but whenever I'm there, we always open it up.
Just go ahead and let it happen.
Yeah, yeah. Let's you know, let Patton Avenue kind of join with the Thirsty Monk.
I like it, Opus. So last week you brought us multiple beers. We had to wheel Jim out of here, by the way. And this week it looks like you have one big giant beer.
I've got one big, very, very special beer. This is called the Ovila, and this is America's first, not true Trappist, but we'll call it America's first Trappist ale.
Trappist ale.
Yes.
Now, what does that mean?
Well, the Trappist ales are the Belgian styles ales that are brewed in Belgium, in Belgian monasteries, with the exception of one in Netherlands. And this is basically the Trappist ales are the definitive Belgian style beers. They're brewed by monks. Their yeasts date back like hundreds and hundreds of years.
Now, when you taste this type of ale, like if you were doing a blind taste test, someone that's tasted a lot of beer, I know you have. Mm-hmm. Could you recognize the Trappist ale from some distinguishing characteristics?
You usually recognize it by the very superb quality of the beer. There are different Trappist styles that, like there's the double and the triple and the quadruple that we've had on in the past. But usually you could taste Trappist beers just by their phenomenal high quality, because they basically have been beers that have been brewed for thousands of years.
Now, have you spent some time over there? I know you've traveled Europe, but have you been to Belgium and some of these breweries and monasteries?
I've been to Belgium. I've been to the Chimay Trappist Monastery and the brewery, and that's probably the one that everyone knows. The Chimay, Chimay. Is the definitive Trappist beer. Like that's the one
Is that the tourist trap over there?
Well,
has the gift store out front.
If it's a tourist trap, it's quite a lovely one, because it's basically a working monastery, and they've been brewing beer and making cheese for centuries, and it's just up until fairly recently that it's made it to the rest of Europe and the United States, where it's actually for sale.
So when you go on a tour of some of these places, do you get to sample the goods?
Oh yeah, absolutely. They have tasting rooms. Usually the tasting rooms aren't on the monastery site.
Yeah, they wouldn't be good. Somebody's hanging around for 4 or 5 hours, one monk to another. You got to get him out of here. We got a couple services coming up. We got to get him out of here.
And monks are strict, but they're probably not good doormen.
Right. So do monks over in Belgium drink what they brew?
Oh, absolutely. The daily goings on of a Trappist monk, and this is the Trappist orders are
loose.
Pretty much
sounds very loose.
they're opposite of loose. They're the strictest order of the Catholic faith. You could possibly imagine.
Are you saying these guys are drinking throughout the day?
They are, but they get up at 4 in the morning. They probably flagellate themselves in the morning. They pray. They pray for hours and hours and hours. They have a very small breakfast. They pray. They work. They do clean the monastery, do the gardening, brew the beer,
work the gift shop. Somebody's got the gift shop.
They pray and they pray and they pray. And then at some point, late breakfast, they have, they have a beer that they call the single, which is, usually around a 3 or 4% beer, that sustains them for their fasting, because they just fast during the day. They pray. And then sometime around 8, 9 o'clock, they'll break their fast, have dinner, pray some more, and do that whole routine just from before sunup to after sundown.
Do they start drinking stronger beers as the day progresses? They start off with the light beer and then work their way up?
They brew stronger beers, and they always say that they drink the 3 or 4% beers. So they brew the strong beers, they're around, they claim that they only drink the lighter ones, but, you know, at some point somewhere they're probably sneaking some...
That's enough, Opus. Jim wants to change professions. There's no way we can lose him as a producer.
Well, we need more Trappist monks in the world.
Do we?
Oh, absolutely.
Is that the answer to our problems?
It is a dying order.
Maybe we can get a Trappist monk to run for office. Interesting platform.
They wouldn't have time.
They're so busy praying and brewing beer and working the gift
Absolutely.
Shop.
Absolutely.
Well, let's taste this beer and tell me a little bit about it. It obviously looks like the label and the whole presentation of it looks like something from the 17th century.
Well, it's designed after a the label is designed after
live.
Sorry if I popped too much. A chapel that is over 800 years old. It was a chapel in Spain, because they had some Trappist monasteries in Spain throughout Europe. And it was shipped over to the United States by Hearst, the newspaper magnate. Mm-hmm. And that's where it was kind of left off. And it wasn't until very recently that a very small Trappist monastery in California revived the interest in this 800-year-old building, in brewery, in winemaking. I think they do some cheese as well. And it took the Sierra Nevada Brewing Company out of California to convince them to start brewing some Trappist-style beers.
I wonder at what point what they brewed at these monasteries became a business of distribution for them. Because obviously somebody had to come in and help them start to distribute this across the world. Because it sounds like to me they're always brewing it, but someone had to take it to the next level.
The business end all came in within place probably with the last 100 years on the Belgian side. They were always brewing beer and making cheese. And selling to the local villages to support the monastery, like all the funds for all the Trappist beers go right back to the monasteries. So it probably wasn't until like the last 100 years that it started getting a little more commercialized and people started coming in and building plants for them off-site. But to be considered a true Trappist, you have to be in Belgium, and it has to be supervised by the monks.
All right, we're going to give it a taste. Are you ready, Jim?
So it's this. The double style is like slightly brown, burgundy in color, and this is typical of pretty much all the double style, and it's slightly sweet. Mm-hmm. It's a little chocolatey. And the alcohol percentage is usually somewhere between 4% and 7%. And that can be, if you ask for a double, whether it's Trappist or American Trappist or just a abbey, like made in an abbey or made by any brewery, you can be assured that it's going to fall into that characteristic.
I like
champagne
it.
Champagne cork on that.
Oh, it needs to be to keep in that beer.
And does this beer age for a certain amount of time before it's distributed?
Doubles, they do age for quite a while, and they also can age in the bottles and in the kegs. They're usually not the best beers to age. There's another style called quadruple, which is stronger in alcohol and also has different characteristics. That age a lot better than doubles. But doubles you can age. We took this from our Thirsty Monk cellar.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk about some more Belgian beers. You got that downstairs area in the downtown location. You only serve Belgian beers. We'll expand on that when we come back. It's the Voice of Beer with Opus from the Thirsty Monk here on Local Edge Radio with Blake and Leslie. Welcome back to Local Edge Radio with Blake and Leslie here on 880 The Revolution. We're smack in the middle of our segment with Opus from the Thirsty Monk called The Voice of Beer. We're tasting a double ale, a Trappist ale, right?
Well, no, it's brewed at a Trappist monastery, but it doesn't fall into the guidelines that the Belgian Trappist
does not qualify.
No. We can call it Trappist, but we can put finger quotes around it.
I was talking about this fascinating trend to me of monasteries getting into the business of beer, and you said at one of the monasteries there's a little documentary about how the monks and obviously another company came together to help them with their distribution.
Yeah, well, the Chimay, that's also the Chimay Brewery. They kind of evolved together. It was a brewery. It was a monastery and then a brewery, and they made their own cheese, a cheese makery. It kind of got big enough and popular enough that it had to become a business at some point.
So, Opus, you have an entire bar downstairs at the Thirsty Monk dedicated to Belgian beers.
Yep, the downstairs is on our taps. We have, good Lord, we have a lot of taps now. Actually, we have 16 taps there now, and they're Belgian and Belgian style.
So not all the beers down there are from Belgium per se.
Well, yeah, and this is one of those beers. Like this is brewed with Sierra Nevada and the Trappist Monastery, but it's brewed to Belgian style.
Because you see a lot of beers that are out there in the grocery store now put on the label Belgian style wheat ale or Belgian style wheat beer. So a lot of people are obviously trying to capture that taste.
They are, and actually I'm glad you brought that up because...
Is it a scam? Are you saying it's a scam?
It's not a scam, but because of that one particular beer... that rhymes with the clue moon. because of that, people tend to think that Belgian beer is a wheat beer, and it's really Belgian styles. There's probably 50 and growing different forms of Belgian beer. With Belgian beer, each beer is kind of its own classification. So I'd like people to get over that. Like just think about Belgian beer. Think about basically anything. It'll be any type of complex, delicious beer that's set to challenge and invigorate and liven your taste buds.
And I imagine. Excuse me, your bartenders and servers downstairs have the opportunity to really educate people on the Belgian beers because I'm sure there's a lot of questions for those first timers that come down there and want to know more about the style of brewing.
That is half of what our beer tenders do. It's we have menus out there that we have full descriptions of the beers, but It takes more than that. It takes the beer tender, serving you the beer in the proper glassware and basically just giving you a full education in the history of the one beer that you're drinking.
So obviously there's a test to become a beer tender at the Thirsty Monk.
There's a 3-page questionnaire that has daunted many, many an applicant.
Many have been turned away,
Jimmy,
at the Thirsty Monk because they did not pass the test. So what's on the horizon at the Monk? Let's talk about the south location, Gerber Village.
Mm-hmm.
Getting ready to open up the Nano Brewery here in a couple of months.
Oh, it'll be late spring, early summer. We're progressing. We'll have to do some construction
Now, has he started, has your brewmaster started brewing any of the batches of beer?
No, not with the equipment that we have. He's still homebrewing. But he was actually at the pub, a few weeks ago, and he was sorely tempted to bring all the equipment outside and just start a campfire and start cooking up beer. But
in the parking lot?
in the patio.
Okay. Interesting.
But we're going to wait for a few more permits before we do that.
Yeah, I think so. That would definitely get you in the paper, Opus, but maybe for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, it's a crazy homebrewer goes, brews, can't wait for brewery to start. So.
Something like that. Citizen Times will run it. They run everything. So April 13th, we're working out the details.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Of the 8A the Revolution Pint Night out there at South Asheville. And hopefully we're going to be able to pull that off on April 13th. If you go ahead and get your taxes in early, then you can come celebrate with us on the April 13th and say, hey, I've already done my taxes, so I don't have to worry about them anymore.
Or if you're in the midst of doing them and you need a break.
That's right. Or you can bring your taxes to the Thirsty Monk.
Sure, we got Wi-Fi.
We will help you find deductions and loopholes as the night progresses. I can find some loopholes on there.
I'll bet.
But we're really excited about that and our partnership that we have here on 880 with the Thirsty Monk, because it really is important. Tourists come to this town every single weekend looking for beer because it's part of what people talk about, this whole, you know, like a West Coast city, you know, open culture, hippie culture, organic farming, whatever the trend might be, and the beer fits in so well. But tourists constantly are coming down to downtown in different areas saying, where are the breweries? And where are the places that I can buy a beer?
We're getting so many out-of-town people just at the beer events that we host at the Thirsty Monk. It's always surprising because, like, we're just a local pub when it comes down to it, but... When we have like the visitor of bells and as we had in the past, we've had people from Florida, from Wisconsin, from Canada, just come for that one event.
And I'm sure you have reps visiting you all the time, hoping they can add their beer to your long list of offerings at the Thirsty Monk.
Well, breweries nowadays are going crazy with seasonal releases and limited releases. Which is great. I mean, there's more beers brewed out there than we can possibly put on tap.
But how do you determine which beers you're going to carry? I mean, do you really sit down and taste the beer after they send you a sample? And,
I wish I could taste all of them before I got them. Sometimes we have to just go in on blind faith. Like, we know that, you know, there's a good brewery. We know they're doing something interesting. We just kind of trust them to brew up something that everyone will like or someone will like.
Well, Opus, I know we have multiple beer festivals throughout the year, but going into the summer, any exciting events that maybe we don't know about that are beer related?
Well, the one that comes to mind right now is on April 12th. We have the founder of Founders Brewery, the head of Founders Brewery in Michigan. Right. Which is the brewer of that KBS beer
that I love
so much.
That has the whiskey kick at the end?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It has the Kentucky bourbon.
Mm-hmm. Kentucky bourbon kick. You can taste the bourbon barrels.
He is going to be in town. We're going to have a takeover tap night with him, 12 beers on April 12th of Founders. That's, I think, going to be the next huge thing.
That's the night before the 8-8 of the Revolution.
Exactly.
Two nights of beer with Opus. And I'm going to have to attend that one on the 12th. I'd like to meet this guy and compliment him on some of his beers. Those are, when you brought that one in, that taste still sticks with me.
Well, hopefully we'll see if we can taste some before.
That's right. Well, it's a rare beer to get, didn't you say?
It's super rare. It's kind of out in your bottle shops now. We will have a keg on for the 12th takeover. And you might be able to find one or two kegs in North Carolina itself, but it's very rare.
Well, Opus, we appreciate you coming by today, bringing us another great beer. And, of course, next week we'll know about the April 13th, 880 The Revolution Pint Night. We'll have all the details worked out by
then.
Well,
we got the glasses, so we're doing it.
That's right, and you got the beer. Now you just need us to make it complete.
Exactly.
Well, folks, be sure to stop by the Thirsty Monk, the downtown location, and the Gerber Village location, which is in South Asheville, right there off of Hendersonville Road. And you can find the Thirsty Monk online at monkpub.com. Well, Opus, we look forward to seeing you next Monday.
Well, I will be here.
All right. Folks, stay tuned. More Local Edge Radio with Blake and Leslie on 880 The Revolution when we return.